Amen. If you would like to read with me the word that the Lord has laid upon my heart this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 13, and we're going to begin reading with verse number 16. Acts chapter 13, beginning with the 16th verse. I saw this mass exodus of little ones going out. I don't know how many they have back there this morning, but they have a bunch. They have a bunch. Thomas and I were talking a few Sundays ago, and he said, you know, he goes, they about outnumber us. I said, when they find out, they're going to take over. You know that. Amen. Acts chapter 13, verse 16. These are the words. The scripture's talking, the words of Luke as he wrote the book of Acts, but he's talking about the Apostle Paul. So he's speaking about the Apostle Paul here in this chapter. So Acts 13, verse number 16, then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand and said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. He's giving the folks that are listening a quick history lesson. He's reminding them of how the children of Israel were over 400 years, about 430 years in Egypt's bondage. And he's reminding these folks of how that they were in Egypt's bondage and they were strangers in the land of Egypt, and how that God visited them then, brought them out. And he says, and with a high arm brought them out of it, brought them out of Egypt. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. Now you can almost get lost in the King James wording of that. He again has given them some history. He's reminding them of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Do you remember in the Word of God how the Bible teaches that God brought them out of the land of Egypt, brought them to the edge of the banks of the Jordan River, and then they refused to go in and take the promised land? And so God said, all right, because you had doubt and unbelief in your heart, this generation is going to die in the wilderness before you are allowed to go into the promised land. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Paul is just giving them a brief history lesson. About the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. He's now up into the book of Joshua. Moses has died, and the children of Israel have followed Joshua into the promised land, and they have conquered Canaan, and they have divvied up or divided up the land. And after that, Paul goes on, after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years. And again, he is giving them a brief history lesson. He's reminding them for 450 years that God brought judges that would lead the children of Israel. Samson and on we could go. They were considered judges. Until the time of Samuel the prophet, and Samuel was the final prophet that reigned or led the children of God in that 450-year period. And then he says in verse 21, and afterward they desired a king. The people of Israel said to God, we want a king. We want to be like the other nations of the world. We're tired of following judges, and we're tired of having these prophets be our spiritual leader. We want a real king. We want to be like everybody else. And so God gave them their heart's desire, and he gave them a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin. And Saul ruled and reigned over the children of Israel for about 40 years. And then the Bible says here in verse 22, and when he, God, when he had removed him, when he, God, had removed Saul, he raised up unto him David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill my will. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Minister on a title that I have, or a subject that I've titled, David, a man after God's own heart. Would you please bow your heads and let us pray together. Jesus, Lord, we come unto you this morning with a humble heart, and we come unto you, Lord, looking unto you for divine efficiency, for capability. I pray that you would put your words in my mouth and that you would give me the inspiration to speak. In my own self and of my own self, I am incapable and I can do nothing without you. But if you will bless me, I will be a blessing. If you will anoint me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and let your words come forth with clarity and with power, it will impact our hearts. It will touch our lives. We open the reading of the Word of God this morning and we ask you to bless the reading of your Word. Speak to us through your Word this morning and give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand. I pray that Christ will be glorified and the people of God will be edified above all things. Have your preeminent way in this place this morning, and we will forever give you the praise and forever give you the thanks. And we ask it this morning in the awesome and the mighty name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So as I begin here this morning, and as we have read through the text, I have endeavored to just give you a little bit of background concerning what Paul spoke here in our text. If you were to begin reading in the first verses of chapter 16, you would find that the Apostle Paul had been harnessed with, if you will, another laborer by the name of Barnabas. And the two of them had been sent out. They had laid hands on them and prayed over them, and then they had been sent out to go and to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Apostle Paul and Barnabas are traveling at this time together, and they are spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, and they have arrived in Antioch. They have arrived in a particular city, and they have gone into the temple, and they have gone into the synagogue, and they have sat through the service, and others have taught and others have spoke, and the rulers of the synagogue invite them to speak. So if you look at verse number 15, the rulers of the synagogue there in Antioch that day asked Paul and Barnabas, said, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, then say on. If you have anything to share, go ahead and share your heart. And given the invitation and the opportunity to speak, Paul begins to speak. He stands up and he begins to give them a very short and yet a very powerful, thought-provoking history lesson. He covers a lot of ground in just a few short verses. He covers a lot of information, and he knows that it is a lesson that will eventually, this historical lesson that he is sharing with them, he knows that if they will just listen, it will lead him to an opportunity to share about Jesus Christ, the one that God promised would come, and the Messiah, and then how he was crucified and how he was raised from the dead. If you read further on in this chapter, you will read that that's where Paul took his history lesson. That's where he ended up. He ended up preaching Christ to them. Amen. And there is so many things there this morning that I could minister on, and so many things that Paul brought out in that very brief history lesson. But verse 22 is what I would like for you to just key in on with me. Verse 22 is the point that I would like to draw to your attention. There in verse 22, Paul says that God gave testimony concerning the attributes of a man that would become king in Israel. God gave testimony. What does that exactly mean? It means that God was about to share what he thought about King David. He was going to share what his thoughts were on the heart of a man that would become the king and the ruler over his people, Israel. And here's what God says. And when he had removed him, he had removed Saul, and he had raised up unto him David to be their king, in whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, to be a man after my own heart. That is a very powerful statement. I have found David, the son of Jesse, to be a man after my own heart. We are kindred spirits. I don't know about you, but when I read that this past week and the Lord led me to this passage of Scripture, I said, God, I want to be a man after your own heart. I want to have the heart of God. I want to be a man after your own heart. Lord, I want you to be able to say that about me. Now, when it makes the distinction a man after his own heart, understand that he's talking about David. David was a man. He could just as easily say a woman after my own heart. If David had been female. Hello? So listen, he's talking about individuals that have a heart that pleases God. He's talking about an individual that has a heart that pleases the Lord, and God could testify that they are a man or a woman after my own heart. And as you think about that for a moment and allow that to sink into your spirit, how many of you here this morning would be like myself and say, God, I want to be a man or a woman after your own heart? Granted, Jesus, I insert your name. There is my servant. Insert your name. A man or a woman after my own heart. Nothing would please me more than to have God say, there is Gary, a man after my own heart. A man that has, amen, a soft spot like I do for men and women. A man that's after my own heart. That would be so wonderful. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, Gary, that Pastor Gary, that would be wonderful, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know all of the places I've been, and you don't know all of the things that I've been into. I would love to say, God, make me a person after your own heart, but I'm afraid it's a little bit too late. I got news for you this morning. Amen. What I find amazing about this statement that God says about David is David was not always the perfect guy. David was not always the perfect guy. If God would have said a man after my own heart and he was talking about Moses, maybe I could understand. If God said, a man after my own heart, and he was talking about a Joseph, maybe I could get it. If God said, a man after my own heart, and he was talking about a guy like Daniel, maybe I could get a hold of it. But he wasn't talking about Daniel. He wasn't talking about Joseph. He wasn't talking about Moses. He was talking about David. If God would have said, you know, Queen Esther, or maybe the Virgin Mary, I could get a hold of it a little bit easier, but he's not talking about any of them. He said, David is a man after my own heart. David, you mean the adulterer? You mean the guy that had the woman's husband murdered? The murderer? Yep, that guy. He has a heart like mine. He is a man after my own heart. So the question that begs to be asked, and the thing that the Holy Spirit brought to my heart this past week, is what is that kind of man? What did David have that would cause God to say he is a man after my own heart? Because it seems to me that David would hardly be my first nominee or my first candidate. He was a man after my own heart, because while David was indeed a great man, he was not without some issues. He made some really good choices and he made some really bad choices, just like us. Some of us here this morning have made some really good choices, and some of us have made some really bad choices. Amen. All of us at one time or another. But there are three particular attributes this morning that David possessed that I believe that caused God to say that about him. When God said, he is a man after my own heart, it boils down in my mind to three different attributes that David possessed that caused God to say that about him. With that in mind, I want you to look closely with me this morning at the life of King David, or at the life of a man called David. And the first thing that I believe that David possessed, or the first attribute that I believe that David had in his life, was that he was a man who had a repenting heart. Yes, he made some bad choices. Yes, he messed up. Yes, he did some things that did not please God. Yes, he was an adulterer. Yes, he even schemed and had the woman's husband murdered. But you know what David had? He had a repenting heart. So the first thing that I want you to notice about David is his repentant heart. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, we read where God had specifically given to David commandment not to number the children of Israel. If you were to read in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, David was about to number the children of Israel so he could determine how many men would be able and capable to go forth and fight. And God said to him, don't number the people of Israel. Do not number the fighting men. And you know why God told him that was because God wanted David not to count on his own strength or count on his own ability. He wanted him to be looking unto God for his salvation and looking unto God for his source of strength. But David, do you know what he did after he had direct orders from God not to number the children of Israel? Do you know what he did? He ordered a census, and he counted all of those that would be capable of going to war. He completely and flat out disobeyed God. And you know what happened? People began to die. He disobeyed the Lord, and he took a census of the people, and God's wrath was poured out. Amen. And David did not try to make an excuse for himself. He did not try to blame it on somebody else. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse number 8, David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because of this thing. I beseech you now, do away with the iniquity of thy servant, and have mercy upon us. I have done foolishly. What I'm getting at this morning is that when David knew that he had failed, and he knew that he had fallen, and he knew that he had sinned, he was quick to turn to God and say, I'm sorry. I've blown it. I messed up. When David committed adultery and arranged for the murder of Uriah, when Nathan the prophet confronted David with the adultery and the murder of her husband, David said in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 13, David says unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has also put away your sin and you will not die. What I'm saying is that David was quick to repent. He was swift to repent of his failures. And because he had a repenting heart, God granted his mercy. If you want to be a man or a woman like God, then learn how to have a repenting heart. Learn how to look to the Lord when you blow it and say, Lord, I have messed up. I've made mistakes and I am sorry and I fall upon your mercy. How many of us this morning are quick to repent? If you want to have a heart like David, be quick to repent. But how many of us this morning are quick to repent? Far too often, instead of repenting, we turn and turning from our sins, we try to justify ourselves. Hello? We try to justify our sin. We try to make excuse for our sin, or we try to blame someone else for our sin. That's what Adam and Eve did in the garden. You remember the story in Genesis 1:1, the serpent shows up, Eve is beguiled and she eats of the fruit and gives it to Adam. Adam eats and they have both disobeyed the Lord, and then God shows up and they are hiding because they were ashamed and they were naked. And God said to them, who told you that you were naked and who told you to be ashamed? Have you eaten of the fruit that I commanded you not to eat of? And Adam said, it wasn't me. It was the woman that thou gavest me. Hello? And the woman wasn't going to take the blame. She said, it wasn't me. It was the serpent who beguiled me. Sometimes we are all too often willing to pass the buck and take a non-responsible attitude for our own choices. Let me just share with you this morning, you have a choice in life. It's like walking out and getting in your automobile, cranking it up, putting it in reverse, and driving to the highway. You have a choice. You can go left or right. And I will tell you, they will, both directions will take you to a certain destination. Life is much the same way. You can either do good or you can do evil. Amen. You're going to reap whatever you sow. So choose wisely. Amen. And don't try to blame it on somebody else. Take responsibility for your choices. Don't pass the buck. Don't try to blame it on somebody else. Don't try to, amen, pass it off or excuse yourself. Amen. Beloved, if we have come to a place when we have failed the Lord and we know that we have sinned, then be quick to repent of it and fall upon the mercy of the Lord. And God, who is rich in mercy, will meet us at that point when we repent. The Bible said that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David had a repenting heart. David had a repenting heart, but all too often, amen, we want to pass the blame on to somebody else. We're not taking responsibility for our failures or our disobedience. And there are some who play the blame game and refuse to even see their sin. They are like the parable of the Pharisee and the publican found in the book of Luke chapter 18. Do you remember that story? The Bible said that there were two men that went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and one was a publican, a sinner. And they both go up to the temple to pray. This was the Pharisee's attitude. He says, and you can read it in Luke 18, 10 through 14. He says, Lord,
I thank you that I'm not like other men. I thank you that I'm not like that guy. He's looking at the publican or the sinner and says, I thank you that I'm not like that guy. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I fast twice a week. I give tithe. And the Bible said that the publican or the sinner would not so much as even lift up his eyes. But he smote his breast and said, have mercy upon me, Lord, a sinner. Have mercy upon me. Which one of those individuals had the right attitude this morning? Which one of those individuals had the right attitude? This is what Jesus said. He said, I tell you that this man, amen, the Pharisee he went to, amen, he didn't go down to his house justified, but this man who smote his chest and repented of his sins, that is the man that went home justified. Jesus said, everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, but everyone that humbles himself shall be exalted. What I'm saying this morning, amen, is have a repenting heart. And when you have a repenting heart, amen, it will make you, amen, an individual that God can say, there is an individual that has a heart like mine. Amen. We need to come to grips with the fact that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Over and over, Scripture tells us, over and over, Scripture makes it clear that without a relationship with God, we are dead in our trespasses and we are dead in our sin. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 in verse number 6, the Bible said, all we like sheep have gone astray and every one of us has turned to his own way. Romans chapter 3 in verse number 10, the Bible says, it is written, there is not one righteous, no, not one. What God is saying this morning is if he is looking for a man or a woman who doesn't reek with religion like the Pharisee, amen, and doesn't have a pious attitude, but instead falls upon the mercy of God and doesn't try to pass the blame for their sin and their disobedience onto someone else, but recognizes their need for Christ and the need for his saving grace. And David was that kind of man. He was a man after God's own heart, but he was a man that was quick to repent. Amen. God help us to be quick and swift to repent when we fail, when we fall. The second thing that I want you to notice about David is that he had a heart to worship. He had a heart to worship. Now let me just share with you just something real briefly here. Worship without repentance is useless. It's lip service. Hello? Let me say that again. Worship without repentance is useless. It's lip service. Jesus said of the Pharisees, these folks draw nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So you can worship and have a heart to worship, but if you haven't had a heart to repent, your worship is pretty meaningless. But David had a heart of repentance, and then he had a heart of worship. Let me remind you this morning that it was David who declared in Psalms 34 in verse number 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It was David that declared in Psalms 9 and verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with a whole heart, and I will show forth all of thy marvelous works. It was David who declared in Psalm 18 and verse number 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. It was David who declared, amen, in Psalms chapter 22 and verse number 22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. It was David that said in Psalms 51 and 15, the O Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. In Psalms 86 and verse 12 through 13, it was David that said, I will praise thee, O my God, with all of my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is thy mercy and your faithfulness untoward me. It was David that declared in Psalms 103 and verse 1 through 5, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Amen. Who forgives all of your iniquities and heals all of your diseases. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now this morning, David had a heart of praise and a heart to magnify and glorify God. It was David that stood up and said in Psalms 118 and verse number 24, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I come to tell somebody this morning, if you want to be an individual that has a heart like God, learn how to be swift to repent and learn how to praise the name of the Lord. Amen. David had a heart to worship God. A heart to worship God. 2 Samuel chapter 6. They are bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us that David was so filled with worship, so filled with praise, that he began to dance with all of his might. He danced with all of his might before the Ark of the Covenant. And later that evening, his wife told him, I was watching from the window, and I saw you coming into town acting like a fool, dancing and doing a jig coming before the Ark. And you know what David told her? I won't give you the King James Version, but in essence, he said, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. Hello? You ain't seen nothing yet. What I'm saying this morning is David didn't care what it looked like. He didn't care if somebody was going to scowl at him. He didn't care what somebody was going to think. He wasn't worried about what his neighbor would call him. He wasn't worried about what his wife thought. He said, I'm going to magnify and I am going to praise the Lord because that's what's in my heart. And God said, he's a man after my own heart. He's not afraid to praise. He's not afraid to worship. He's not afraid to magnify the Lord. He's not afraid to show some emotion. And he's not afraid, amen, to lift up the name of Christ. Amen. You hear what I'm saying this morning? David had a heart that was unafraid and unashamed to worship and praise the Lord. And if you want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, then learn how to have a heart of true worship and pure worship from your heart this morning. Jesus said to the woman at the well, the hour has come and now is that true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Let me just tell you today that God is looking for somebody that's not afraid to lift up his name. God is looking for somebody that's not ashamed of the name of Jesus. God's looking for somebody, amen, that's willing to holler praise the Lord in the midst of the congregation. God's looking for somebody that's not ashamed to magnify and lift up the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. The third thing that I get that the Holy Spirit brought to me about David's life. The third thing that I want you to notice is that David was a servant. He was quick to repent. He was a worshiper at heart, and he was a servant. He was a servant. He had a servant's heart. Look at verse number 36 of our text. Acts, the verses that we read, the verse 36, this is what it says. He, talking about David, he had served his own generation by the will of God. He served his generation by the will of God. Service was a hallmark of David's life. When he was a youth, he served his father's sheep. And neither a lion or a bear could take from that flock because he was a servant and a faithful servant. Later, it was David that accepted Goliath's challenge, and he won a victory for the children of Israel. And when he indeed did become king over the people of God, he didn't look for ways for others to serve him, but instead he looked for ways to serve others. He served his generation by the will of God. What I'm saying this morning is if you want to be an individual that has a heart that God can say there is a man or a woman after my own heart, then learn how to serve others. Amen. Learn how to serve others. Our mentality in the world today is that it is all about me. Wrong. That is contrary to Scripture. The Bible said we are to serve one another in love. Jesus, the Bible says in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 45, the Bible said, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister unto others and to give his life a ransom for us. What it was saying was that Jesus didn't come for us to serve him. He came so that he could serve us and bring to us the salvation of God. And now freely we have received. And God is asking us to freely give and serve one another in love. Learn how to have a servant's heart. Learn how to have a servant's heart. Learn to serve one another. Learn to think of the needs of others. Learn to, amen, extend yourself for others. It is not all about us. It is about what we can do for the kingdom of God. David was a servant. If you want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, then learn how to serve. Learn how to serve others. Learn to minister to the needs of others, even as God has ministered to our needs. And let me just read our text to you this morning one more time. Our text, Acts 13, 22, and when God had removed Saul, he raised up unto the children of Israel David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. What God was saying was, I have found a man that will not be rebellious and disobedient. I have found a man that'll be quick to repent and seek my will. Saul was a man of self-will, and Saul was a rebellious individual, and Saul was a disobedient individual. And what God was saying was, I have found someone to serve over my people that will have a right kind of heart. God was referring to the character of David. It means that, amen, that he would make the will of God the rule of the people, and that under his law or his reign, he would cause them to seek the Lord, in contrast to Saul, who was a king and who had completely disobeyed the Lord and had completely rebelled against God. This morning, if we desire to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, then we too must learn how to repent, because we often fail. We too need to pray as David prayed when he said, "Search my heart and see if there be any wicked thing in me." And then be willing to turn from that. Is there something in our lives, something in our hearts this morning that we need to turn from? Amen. Is there something that we need to repent of? Be quick to repent. We must have a heart to worship and have a servant's heart. Amen. If we want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, then we need to be quick to repent, have a heart filled with worship, and have the attitude of a servant. We have been bought with a price. We have been bought with a price. So this past week, as the Lord began to lay this word upon my heart, and I began to pray, "Father, let me be that kind of individual. Let me be that kind of servant. Let me be that kind of man that you could say about me what you said about David. I realize, Lord, I am not faultless. I realize, Lord, that I have made far too many mistakes. I realize, Lord, that there have been times that you have told me to do one thing and I went headlong and done something else." And y'all could look at me like you're John the Baptist, but so have you, right? I realize, Lord, there have been times that I have messed up, but I come to you in mercy. I come to you with repentance, and I beg of you for your mercy and your grace. I ask you to be merciful to me. I want to have that kind of heart. I want to have the kind of heart that you would be able to say, there is my servant, a man after my own heart. God began to open up these scriptures and said, "Son, then be quick to repent. Be swift to acknowledge your wrong. Don't blame it on somebody else. Don't try to pass the buck. Don't try to, amen, you know, push it off on somebody else. Admit and move on. Find grace and move on." Amen. Have a heart to worship, a heart to worship me. Humble yourself in my sight and give me honor and praise. And serve others as I have served you. And this morning, I challenge you this morning, if you are here and you have said in your heart, amen, the same thing, "Lord, I want to be that kind of person. I want to be the kind of person that you could say, I am a man or a woman after your own heart," then I encourage you to follow the example of King David. Be swift to repent. Be quick to worship and praise. And be willing to serve. Bow your heads, please, this morning. Bow your heads, please. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the mighty and wonderful name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come. Lord, I ask this morning that you would take the words of this message. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would allow it to fall upon ears that are opened of God to hear and to receive. Lord, help us, each one, to be swift to repent. We have all made incorrect decisions, and we have all fallen from your favor and grace. Help us to be quick to repent and turn back to you. Help us, each one, to have a heart that is not ashamed to worship the Lord and testify of your grace and your mercy. A heart of praise For the Father seeks those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Help us to be that person, that kind of individual. And help us to serve even as he serves the church, ministers to the church, blesses the church, provides for the church. Have us to have that same kind of heart to serve others. Speak to us now, Lord, through your word. I ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. How many of you here this morning would be able to say with me, God, I want to have that kind of testimony. I want you to be able to say about me the same thing that you said about David, a man, a woman, after my own heart. Would you slip up your hand and say, Lord, that's me. I want you to be able to say that about me. I want you to be able to say that about me. Hands lifted all over the building. Now, maybe there's some things that we have not been so quick to repent over. Maybe there's some areas where we have worshiped, but it's just been lip service. Maybe there's been some areas or even some times when we serve, but we did it for the wrong reason or the wrong motive. If you're here this morning and you would just simply say the message spoke to my spirit, spoke to my heart, would you lift up your hand and say, that's me? Praise God. Praise God. Stand to your feet all over the building. I want to pray with you one more time before we sing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. It is eternal and it is from everlasting to everlasting. It is forever settled in heaven. You said in your word, we'll know the truth and the truth will make us free. Thank you for sharing the truth with our hearts this morning. Thank you this morning, Lord, for your gentle hand and your tender touch in our hearts. Every hand that has been lifted, Father, I pray that you would touch their life, that you would bless their hearts this morning, that you would encourage and strengthen and give faith, and let the anointing of the Holy Spirit break every yoke and every shackle of hindrance, that we may be a worshiper with a pure heart, that we may serve with an attitude of faith and grace in our life, that one day we may be able to stand on the other side and hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. That we may be able to hear you say of us, you are an individual after my own heart. Touch our lives here this morning, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Don't let us leave like we came, in Jesus' name. Go ahead.